The reading for today is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1, beginning, and that can be found on page 13 in the church Bibles, page 13. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord.
Well, St. Paul mentions a number of times in his letters three sort of values: faith, hope, and love. When we were fitting out the new extension, Kate Moody came across this sign in a shop, and so she bought it, and we decided to fix it up on the other side of the door into the church, just to remind us that as we come in here, this is what we're about: faith, hope, and love. And as Lynn and I move on, this is one of the things that we're going to be holding in our mind: faith, hope, and love. And as you go through a time of a transition and change, I pray that you might look at that sign, you might remember us, but also that you might hold on to those things that are so crucial, because they're all founded on the God who loves us in the most amazing way. And my next three talks are going to look at one of each of these values. So today we begin with faith. And all of these values function at two levels. There is saving faith, big faith, where we put our faith in Jesus Christ and in his cross and in his resurrection. And then there is everyday faith, as we live that out in our lives. And there's big hope. There's the hope of paradise with Jesus when we die, the great hope of heaven. And then there's a drawing back, a drawing down of that hope into our everyday lives. We live in the light of the hope to come. And love, there's big love, the amazing love, the life-transforming love that God has for us. And there's little hope, there's love that we live each day, big love and little love. We live in the light of God's love, and we share that love with others. So today we're going to start with faith. Where does our faith spring from? What's the fount of our faith? Well, in the Garden of Eden, faith and trust, as Adam and Eve walked in the garden, was a natural thing until they ate the forbidden fruit and the fall came. And the root of that first sin was not pride, as we sometimes think. It was actually unbelief, because they didn't really believe and trust that God had the best for them. So when they were offered an alternative, they didn't have believe in God. They let go of that and they thought, "Oh, maybe this is the thing. Maybe there's more. Maybe God's hidden it." And so they turned to pride. "Well, let's do our own thing." But unbelief was the thing that was at the root of it. And it is true for all of us in our lives as we go astray from God, it's because we're not believing that he is wise and he is loving and he has the best for us. So the first sin, the fall with Adam and Eve, came with Adam and Eve. But then the great recovery begins with Abraham, as we read in the reading today. And the New Testament begins in Matthew, with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and this is what it says. The family tree of Jesus Christ, David's son, Abraham's son. And then there's a list of all the generations from Abraham through to Jesus. It is God's rescue operation, and it begins with Abraham. But I was thinking, why does it begin with Abraham? Because we know that there were some great saints before that. There was Enoch, and there was Abel, and there was Noah, all people who followed God. So why did God begin with Abraham? Well, I think it's this. It's because Abraham was an idol worshipper, and he was a moon worshipper, probably. And that's why. God calls Abraham because he is completely lost. He has got nothing to bring to the table. He is lost. He has nothing. And so God begins his recovery operation with him because it's about faith. It's about what God does for us. God believes in us, and God believed in Abraham. So God took hold of Abraham and said, "He is mine," at the point when Abraham was nowhere. And that's what transformed Abraham's life. And I wonder, has that happened to you yet? Have you responded to the fact that God has faith in you? Did you realize that God is calling you just as God called Abraham? You know, it's really important not to stand in the sort of slipstream of other Christians. The question is for you. It's not about other people's faith. It's about your faith. It's very easy to sort of hide behind the pillar and be on the coffee roaster and actually never make that commitment to understand that God has faith in you, that God calls you, that he loves you. And all you have to do is respond to him and say, yes. But you do have to do that. Coffee roaster doesn't qualify you for heaven. Saying yes does. So if you've never done that, as I said last week, bundle other people out of the way and come and talk to me or talk to Trevor, because this is the most important thing you could do. Don't let me leave this church and you not have made that commitment, having heard me speak for ages about these things. Let it happen. God loves you. You see, the Bible talks about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But it's also the God of Trevor and Rachel and Tom and you, if you'll let him. Well, Abraham was the beginning of God's recovery operation. Through his family line, Jesus was born, died on the cross, rose again, and our sins are forgiven. And the spring of faith is the fact that God has faith in us. It's always him first, and then we respond. But how do we respond? Well, that's my second point. The challenge of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 8 tells us this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Difficult to imagine someone doing that, isn't it? Setting out, they've got no idea where they're going. No plan other than to obey God. I think it's easy for us to underestimate this because we know that it worked out for Abraham in the end. But Abraham didn't know that when he set out. I went to see the latest film about Winston Churchill, The Darkest Hour. People seen that? Who's seen the film on? Yeah, well, yeah, quite a lot. That's good. And it's a very different film from previous films that I've seen about Winston Churchill. Because the previous films portrayed Churchill as a sort of confident, courageous leader steering the nation through this time of crisis to victory. And I think the depictions were made in hindsight, recognizing that we know that we were going to win. But in this film, Winston Churchill is depicted by Gary Oldman really well, and it shows all the vulnerabilities of a leader in a situation where he doesn't know what is going to happen. Churchill did not know. In fact, it looked likely they were going to lose. He didn't have all the answers. He was discouraged, he was despairing at times, but he still carried on in courage and with faith. The writer to the Hebrews says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Churchill did not see, could not see, whether or not they would win, we would win. Faith isn't weighing up what is sort of doable and then being a bit optimistic. I think often Christians think it is. You know, well, we'll work it out, we'll have a rational, pros and cons, and we work it out, think, yeah, we can probably just about manage that. Well, we'll be a bit optimistic, and that's faith. That isn't faith, that's just being human. It's much more than that. It is raising our eyes to the King and seeing what the King can do, not what we think is doable, and then stepping into the blessing that the King gives us. It's a much bigger picture. It's a much bigger call on our lives. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The writer to the Hebrews continues, "This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." In other words, God created the whole universe out of nothing. And that's the God we've got faith in. That's the God who leads us. That's the God who's on our side. So when we're called into something, he provides in the most amazing way. So what are you praying for? What are you praying for at the moment? Are there things perhaps that are doable? Or have you raised your eyes to the King? Are you looking for things beyond that God might call you to? You see, it's no good just doing things that we could do without the Holy Spirit. We have to stretch into the things that God calls us for that are beyond that. What are you praying for in your family? With your children? What are you praying for amongst your friends? In your workplace? Your sports club or leisure place? In the church? What could God do if we looked with the eyes of faith? Abraham, of course, didn't have to risk it. He could have stayed at home and he would have had, a nice life. But Abraham stepped into a place of blessing and the whole world was blessed by Abraham taking that step, that courageous step. So that's the challenge of faith. What are you stepping into? What is God calling to you? Are you on your knees pleading with him to show you what he wants you to be and to do and to become? Stepping out in obedience and faith is what God calls us to. So the spring of faith is that God has had faith in you, that he loves you. The challenge of faith is that God calls you to step into something that's much bigger than you could ever imagine. And finally, the field of faith. God says to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation." Abraham and Sarah were childless, and God said, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." That's a massive jump, isn't it, to believe? But Abraham set out anyway. "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you," God says. What an amazing vision. That's a big vision. I like to go on Google Earth, and I like to find my house. And then, click and you go out a bit and you can see your street. Then you go out a bit further and you can see Salisbury, see your city. And then you go out further, you can see the country. And then you can see the world. And I think you can even see the curvature of the earth if you go far enough, can't you? And then I click and I go all the way back in again to see my house. Really good. We often focus on our little lives, but as the camera pulls back, we see the picture that God has and that he is using us to bless the whole earth. That's the vision he's got. That's the vision he's got for you, that you may be a blessing and that we together as a church may be a blessing and that the churches across Britain may be a blessing as we pray in thy kingdom come, praying that we may be a blessing to this world. And then the churches across the world, people like David and Shelley in Argentina being a blessing. What amazing people they are. And other people that we support. That's what we're to be. That's the field of faith that God has given us. But you might be thinking, oh, you know, come on, Paul. Faith, I find that really difficult. And can I say, take heart. Read the story of Abraham. When you get home this week, read right through the story. Because you see, you might think, oh, Abraham, great man of faith, he stepped out. And he did. But also, as well as a great faith, he also had monumental unbelief as well in his life. He oscillated from one to the other because he was human. He was real like us. And we do that too. But the thing about Abraham was that he was willing. That in the depths of his heart, he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And you know, when we don't act in faith and we come to God, he forgives us. And we're released to do it again and to be willing and to reach out. So take heart. It's not that we're perfect and we get it right all the time. It's just that we're willing and then he uses us. He loves to use us to do his work. So what about you? Do you know Jesus as the spring of your faith? Risk getting to know him. Risk talking to me afterwards or to Trev here. That's the spring of faith, knowing Jesus. He has faith in you. The challenge of faith, have you stepped out beyond what you'd thought doable to the things that God calls you for? And the field of faith, have you seen the bigger picture that through you, through us, God blesses the world? Let's pray, shall we? I wonder, there's just a moment of silence, just to capture what God may have been saying. Is there something you perhaps need to act on today? Maybe it's that you need to talk to me or to the prayer ministers about putting your faith in Jesus. Properly, firmly. Maybe there's some area of life that perhaps you've not really believed for today, but God's just prompting you that he is able. Maybe he's saying, step into this blessing I have for you. Step into this new place. Maybe it's just the encouragement of seeing that you're part of something bigger, that your little life matters. My little life matters because we're part of the great action of God. So Lord, we pray, take us, use us, make us people of faith. As you have faith in us, may we have faith in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.